shit.
Anybody like that here?
Yeah, again, Benny.
Let me hear you say it loud and clear.
And I decree tonight that every one of you, from now on, you will begin to excel.
Amen.
Stand beside him or her and say, you are the one who will get my attention.
The anointing allows you to enter into overflowing blessings.
Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn.
There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. You're watching Redemption Way.
Almighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. Father Almighty, the Sovereign God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Unchangeable Changer, the Holy One of Israel, the Rock of Ages, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, glory be to your holy name. Father, glory be to your holy name. Thank you for what you did at the last FOL. Thank you for the souls saved. Thank you for the sick healed. Thank you for the captives set free. Thank you for all you did last year. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for what you are about to do tonight. Thank you because your power will come down. The sick will be healed. The captives will be set free. Sinners will be saved. There will be miracles. There will be signs and wonders. And your name will be glorified. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Father, tonight, for all of us who are in need of your intervention, arise and fight our battles for us. Before this night is over, total and complete victory give to your children in Jesus' name. Give us victory over sickness, over demons, over failure, over barrenness, over sorrow, over retardation. Give us victory in Jesus' name. At the end of everything, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. Psalm 115, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 115, verse 1 to 3. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? I want to say to somebody here today straight away that everything in your life that is causing people to say, where is your God? When tonight? But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. I want to prophesy to someone straight away that all those who have been asking, where is your God? God will answer them tonight. Tonight we want to talk about the sovereign God. For someone to be sovereign, it has to be totally unlimited. That is the major implication of sovereignty, completely unlimited. And the only person who can claim to be totally unlimited is our God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17, he said our God is the King eternal, King immortal, King invisible, and the only wise God. Our God is completely unlimited, and I will show you in a moment that it's unlimited in every way possible. Every other monarch is limited. Some will be limited by time, some will be limited by resources, some will be limited by laws, some will be limited by one thing or the other. But my God is completely unlimited. A sovereign person must be somebody who can do whatever he likes, whenever he likes, however he likes. Once upon a time, there was some people who had something similar to that kind of power. They could kill anyone, they could put anyone in detention without trial, they could do whatever they liked. But they were limited because at one time or the other, death took them away. Thank God I have a God who lives forever. I was telling some of my children not too long ago, I said, the only person I know who never says sir to anyone is my God. He's the sovereign one. Now, because he's the commander-in-chief, according to Psalm 24 from verse 7 to 10, Psalm 24 verse 7 to 10, is the commander-in-chief of all the hosts, whether in heaven, on earth, or underneath the earth, my God never has to obey anyone. He has the final say. He is the sovereign God. He is sovereign because he is unlimited by position. He's unlimited by position because there's no one higher than him. Psalm 91 verse 1 calls him the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 8 tells us that our God is higher than the highest. So when you find me praising him, occasionally you hear me say, you are higher than the highest. That's what I mean. That's where I got it from. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8. He says, heaven is my throne. In other words, his throne is higher than any other throne you can think about. He's not limited by position. And he's not limited by strength. The Bible made it clear that our God is stronger than the strongest. He's the only one who can say, I'm the God of all flesh. Jeremiah 32 verse 27. Jeremiah 32 verse 27 said, behold, I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? He is so strong that he can do absolutely anything. As a matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 28 to 30 tells us something about his strength. He said, he is never tired. Every other king will fall asleep at one time or the other because they will fall tired after a long day's work. But here is a God who is never tired. He's sovereign because he's not limited by strength. And our God is not limited by age. He never grows old. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, Exodus 3, verse 15, he says, my name is I am that I am. He's always the same young person that he had always been from the beginning. They call him the Ancient of Days. He's so unlimited by age that he said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he said, I am both the Alpha as well as the Omega, the beginning as well as the ending. If you are looking for someone who is, he said, I'm the one. You are looking for someone who was, he said, I'm the one. If you are looking for someone to come, he said, I am the one. Sovereign God, unlimited by age. And it's unlimited by time. Many a times when we have a program and we suddenly begin to say, oh, we have to hurry because of we are running out of time. God never runs out of time. It's unlimited by time because Daniel chapter 2 verse 20 to 21, Daniel 2, 20 to 21 tells us that he changes times and seasons. In other words, time and seasons are under his control. When you read Joshua chapter 10 from verse 12 to 14, Joshua chapter 10 from verse 12 to 14, you discover that if he wants, he can delay time. He can tell the sun to stand still. He can tell the moon to stay where it is. He did it in the time of Joshua. And if he wants, he can quicken time. In John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, when we read the story of Jesus changing water to wine, one Bible scholar said, all that Jesus did was that he hastened the transformation of water to wine. Because what happens in grapes is that water is changed to wine over a period of time. All he did was he hastened the change. And you know the implication of that is this. If the Almighty God wants, he can make you younger. He can pull back time. And if he wants, he can hasten your miracle. The miracle that is supposed to come next year can come tonight. In any case, how many of you believe that this day is your own day? If you believe that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. It's unlimited by knowledge. Acts 15 verse 18. Acts 15 verse 18 says, known unto God are all his works from the foundations of the world. In other words, before the world began, he knew how many of us will be here tonight. Which is the reason why you should be rejoicing, because you are not here by accident. Particularly those of you who are coming for the first time. I rejoice with you because your time has come at last. But it's also true for those of you who have been coming. Because you have been waiting on him and he has been waiting for the day you will learn about him being sovereign. And he's going to prove himself to you tonight. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28. Isaiah 40 verse 28 tells us that there is no searching of his understanding. In other words, he knows so much that you can't even begin to understand how much he knows. That is why I always tell people who come to me and ask for prayers. Many a time they want me to sit down and listen to them for 1 hour before I pray. And I said, listen, even after you have finished telling me the story, I will still say, let us pray. I will say, let us pray, because I am not the one who can solve the problem. The one who can solve the problem is the Almighty God. And they all agree with that. And I said, now, the things you wanted to tell me, God already knew before you left home. And so all we need to do is just let us pray and the problem will be over. How many of you believe that God is going to solve your problem tonight? If you believe that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. And it's unlimited by circumstances. There is no situation that is so bad that you will say, as far as God is concerned, no, no, he can't handle this. No, no, no. No such thing. When you read Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10, Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10, the Bible tells us that he took his servant, prophet Ezekiel, to a valley full of dry bones. And he said to the prophet, can these bones live? The man of God looked at the circumstance and said, God, only you can tell. And he said, all right. Because the man of God is saying, looking at the circumstances that I can see now, there is no hope here. But he said, for you, that is the situation, but for me, I'm the sovereign God. And he said, all you have to do is prophesy. And he prophesied. And you know the rest of the story. Dry bones came together. What used to be dry bones became an army. You know, once in a while, when the Almighty God asked me to prophesy, I say some things that if I don't know his voice, I will find it difficult to say. But the moment he goes forth, the power of God will go behind it. That's why I'm telling someone here tonight, you will never weep again. Yeah. Now, I've told you the story before of a man who was walking in a factory and a bowl of acid fell on his face. And he couldn't get help on time. By the time they took him to the doctor took a look at what the acid had already done and asked him, do you have a child? He said, yes. Someone about 10 years old, he said, yes. Why are you asking? He said, because you will never see again. Because the acid had already eaten up his eyes. And that man said, well, thank you very much. After first aid, he said, take me to the camp. That's where I live. He said, I've had the doctor's report. I want to hear God's report. I'm telling you the truth. When they brought him, even me, pastor, my faith shook. Because what I saw was horrifying. But you know, when they come to you as a pastor, you have to pretend to be strong and bold. God have mercy on pastors. And I said, that's the doctor's report. I mean, my God, we can do all things. Let me ask you one question, one more question. How many of you really believe that with God all things are possible? If you believe that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Because I'm standing on that word of God to say to someone here right now, your own will not be impossible with God. That was 1980-something, and that man is now an elder, several years, almost 30 years later, and he's still reading without glasses. Because there is a sovereign God. That sovereign God is going to prove himself in your life tonight. Now, my God is not limited by anybody. Some people are limited by some other people. Even the president of a nation may be limited by the Senate and so on and so forth. But my God is unlimited by anybody. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 39. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, the doctors told you that your entire digestive system is already badly affected. He asked me to tell you, he will give you a brand new one. Now I know this is going to be a great night. But the Lord said that somebody is here. He said, you will understand. He said, all I need to tell you is that the heat has gone. Oh, my. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord said, there's someone who came here tonight with a fibroid almost as big as 6 months pregnancy. He asked me to tell you the fibroid is gone. Yeah. Oh, so where are we? Okay. Deuteronomy 32 verse 39. Deuteronomy 32 verse 39. He said, I am the Lord. He said, I kill and I make alive. He said, there's nobody who can deliver from my hand. There's nobody who can limit me. He said in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 13, thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone tonight here who is getting a new blood tie tonight. I rejoice with that fellow. Isaiah 43 verse 13, he said, I will walk, who shall let? The word let there means who shall hinder. God says, when I decide to walk, who is the fellow who can stand before me? I have good news for every one of you here tonight. Whether the devil likes it or not, whether your enemies like it or not, whether even your relatives like it or not, God will solve your problems tonight. Now, because our God is sovereign, when he blesses, no man can reverse it. In Numbers 23, verse 20, Numbers 23, verse 20, he says, I have received the commandment to bless. That's a prophet talking. He said, I have blessed, and I can't even reverse it. The Almighty God has pronounced a blessing, and the prophet says, it doesn't matter what anybody may want to do, that blessing cannot be reversed. When Jacob came, and with all kinds of manipulation, took the blessing that should belong to Esau, and Esau now came after he has left, he said to his father, what happened? He said, I've already blessed your brother. He came here and has taken your blessing away. Then the father made an announcement. He said, I have blessed him and he shall be blessed. The sovereign God is asking me to tell someone here tonight, you are blessed. And nobody can change that one. If you receive that, let me hear you say amen. Now, when you look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone here tonight, he said, within the next 1 hour, you'll be so strong, you'll be able to run again. He said the fellow will know that he is the one being talked to. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, there had been a curse on Jericho for generations. Then Elisha, the man of God, came on the scene and decided that the curse be canceled. The Bible says the curse on Jericho was destroyed that day, and up to this moment, according to the word of Elisha that he spoke. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, I am saying to every one of you here tonight, every curse that has been in your family is destroyed tonight. Because God is sovereign. He can change a curse to a blessing. When you read Genesis chapter 49 from verse 1 to 7, Genesis 49 verse 1 to 7, you will see something that happened there. Israel was about to die. And when your father makes a pronouncement on his deathbed, you know that is settled. If your father blesses you just when before he dies, that blessing is super. If he curses you, God have mercy. Here, Israel or Jacob, whichever one you want to call him, placed a curse on a man called Levi. He said he did something bad and said, I'm going to scatter him in Israel. In other words, he will never amount to anyone. But the Almighty God said, well, I'm sovereign. I'm bigger even than your father. So in Numbers chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, Numbers 3, verse 11 to 12, the Almighty God said, the one that the father says is going to scatter, he said, I will draw him near. He said, the one that he said will become nothing, I will make him my firstborn. In the name that is above every other name, every curse that has been pronounced on you, whether by your father or grandfather, by the enemies of your family, I decree tonight that they be canceled in Jesus' name. So because he is sovereign, when he decides to heal, the length of the sickness is immaterial. It doesn't matter how long you have been sick. When the sovereign God wants to heal, sickness cannot stand in his way. In John chapter 5, verse 2 to 9, John 5, verse 2 to 9, a man had been sick for 38 years. When the sovereign God got there, the history of the sickness was of no consequence. He's been sick for 38 years. He said, well, I made up my mind. I want to heal you now. Get up and go. It is interesting that the man was telling a long story, and Jesus said, cut off the story. I've decided to heal you. And I don't know who I am talking to now, but there is someone here tonight. God has decided to heal you. If you will receive it, let me hear you say amen loud and clear. And it doesn't matter when he decides that I want to heal. It doesn't matter how long the doctors have failed. It doesn't matter how often they have failed. Because some people come to God, and they come to the man of God, they want to tell him, sir, I've been sick for 10 years, I've gone to the doctor, this doctor tried, he failed, he referred me to this doctor. Once you come to my God, he doesn't refer cases. Is the last bus stop. Other doctors may refer you. They may say, see a specialist. They may say, see this fellow. They may say, go and get a second opinion. Listen, every opinion you need to get, you already got it once you get to God. In Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, they brought a boy to him, a young man, who was paralyzed from neck downwards. There was nothing any doctor could do for him. As soon as he got to Jesus Christ, they carried him in. He walked back home. In the name that's above every other name, every sickness that you brought in here today, not a single one will go back with you home. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34 that I mentioned earlier, Mark 5, 25 to 34, the woman with the issue of blood said, I have been to many doctors. The Bible said he suffered many things from many doctors. She spent everything she had. And instead of getting better, she got worse. Just one contact with the sovereign God, and total healing came. Glory be to God. Oh my, this is London, Daddy. You know, there are some things God wants us to do in Nigeria, and we don't care. We trust him sufficiently to do whatever he asks us to do. But he asked me to tell somebody who I've been told that there is very little hope for you physically. He asked me to tell you just to touch the ground. Touch the ground with your hand. And that will be the end of the story. Just touch the ground. Let me hear somebody now shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah, Daddy. Lord, say there's someone here tonight. He said, in your family, as soon as people reach a certain level, they begin to decline. He said, that stop with you tonight. Glory be to God. Well, I like it this way. I want to preach, but he's doing most of the talking. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, I should tell you, forget their threats. Your promotion is in my hand. So because he's sovereign, when he decides to heal, nothing can stop him. It doesn't matter how long you have been sick. It doesn't matter how many times the doctors have failed. It doesn't refer a case. Now, when he decides to deliver, the number of demons is immaterial. Whether there's only one demon, he commands the demon, he will go. Whether there are seven, like in the case of Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, Luke 8, verse 1 to 3, in the case of Mary Magdalene, there were seven demons. He chased all of them out. And even if they are a legion, and Bible scholars said legion means at least 6,000 of the demons, even if there are 6,000 demons. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 15, Mark 5, verse 1 to 15, 6,000 demons had only one word from him: go. And they left. There are some of us who have been suffering from one demonic oppression or the other. You want to do something and certain forces that you cannot see kept on hindering you. I command tonight, in the name that's above every other name, all demons that have been tormenting children of God, you leave tonight. You know, years ago, a man of God told a story. Now, they brought him to come and pray for someone who was demon-possessed. And he was there praying, God, set this fellow free. Almighty God, please help. And God spoke to him and said, no, I'm not the one doing it. I'm not the one going to do it. You are my servant. You just tell the demon to go, command, and the demon will go. And the man of God commanded, and the demon left. So I learned my lesson. After all, the God of that man is also my God. He saved him, he saved me. Filled him with the Holy Spirit, filled me with the Holy Spirit. So the next time I saw an opportunity to demonstrate, I demonstrated. Some of you probably heard the story before. There was this young man, from the time he was born, he had this uncanny tendency to crawl into fire. He just wanted to go into fire. So from that young age, they kept him far away from fire. So he came to one of our programs and he told the brethren, this is my problem. And so the brethren gathered around, they wanted to pray. And I was walking past when they saw me coming and they invited me to join the group. They told me the situation, the way they were getting ready, they were rolling their sleeves. So they were getting ready for action. So I said, well, I'm ready to pray, provided you let me pray first. They said, sure, go ahead. And so I just told the demon that in the mighty name of Jesus, he should get out. And I turned back and I began to go. And they said, is that all? I said, what else? You want me to wait to see him pack his load? Those of you who have heard the testimony before, you remember that a couple of days later, I was visiting a friend in another town, and I saw the same boy, completely free, and he went to the kitchen to prepare my food. So in the same manner, under the same unction, I'm saying to every demon that had followed anybody here tonight, get out! Now, so when he decides to set free, nothing can hinder him. No, the number of demons is of no consequence. And if the enemies say, okay, we have already got to into prison, and they have secured the doors, and they have put some people at the doors to guard. So make sure you don't escape. All you need to do is read Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. Acts 12, verse 5 to 11. And you see there that there was a case of Peter bound between two guards. They were so sure they didn't want him to escape. They tied him, they handcuffed him, hands and feet, to two soldiers, one on the left and one on the right. That is after shutting the door of the prison and then putting guards at the outside. When the sovereign God moved in, the chains dropped off on their own. The doors opened on their own. The guards outside fell asleep. I am decreeing today that the guards that are watching the prison door where you are put will fall asleep. The doors will open on their own accord. And any yoke binding your hand and feet shall drop off right now in Jesus' name. And some of you probably have heard this story before, that, you know, there was a wedding in my village. I was much younger than this then, so I had a lot of zeal, not too much wisdom. And I went to preach there. And because in my village, at least in those days, there were many witches, a lot of wicked ones. And I didn't like witches. I still don't like them at all. I don't like the devil at all. I don't know about you. And I have my own reason for hating these people, because in 1960, because of a family quarrel, they threatened that they were going to use me for breakfast. So I ran. So, because when they say that you should stay, by tomorrow morning you may be gone. So I was running for 13 years until I became born again. So when I became born again, and I now know that I have Jesus, the first opportunity I had to give it to them, I gave it to them. I really told them that power passes power. How many of you believe that all power belongs to Jesus? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. It was a wedding sermon, but I turned it to something else. So when I finished, I left. And some of the witches were bold enough to go to the mother of the bride. They said, your daughter is getting married, and you brought this boy to come and insult us. They said, we will wait till your daughter becomes pregnant, and then we will see if she will ever deliver. Something is happening on that side. Let somebody shout hallelujah there. And so they told the mother-in-law, they said, we will wait till your daughter becomes pregnant. Then we will see whether she will ever deliver. Oh, so the mother was frightened. He said, came to me and said, you are the one causing trouble now. We asked you to come and preach a wedding sermon. You turn it to spiritual warfare. I told the mother, I said, by this shall we know who is the stronger, whether it is my father in heaven or the witches here or not. I told the old woman, I said, don't worry yourself at all. The day your daughter will deliver, the witches will be asleep. And that was exactly what happened. They were waiting for her at home. She delivered at redemption camp. I'm telling someone here today, all those who are waiting for your downfall, you will seek them and you will not find them again. When God wants to deliver you, it doesn't matter how hot the fiery furnace may be. In Daniel chapter 3, you know the story. Nebuchadnezzar said they should make the furnace seven times hotter. The sovereign God took his voice out of the flame. God has a way of turning fire to air conditioning. When God wants to deliver you, it doesn't matter how many lions, and it doesn't matter how hungry the lions are. You know the story in Daniel chapter 6, when they threw Daniel into the den of lions. The lions were hungry, because after they pulled out the Daniel and they threw in his enemies, the Bible said before the enemies got to the bottom of the den, the lions finished them because they were hungry. But the Almighty God, the Sovereign One, showed the lions that he is the real lion. And he told the natural lion to shut their mouth so that they can't touch his own son, because the son happened to be the son of the Lion of Judah. I'm saying to someone here today, it doesn't matter how hot the fire you are passing through, before the sun rises tomorrow, you will testify. After all, my daddy has just said, earlier on he said the heat is gone. He must be talking to somebody. And it doesn't matter how many lions, none of them will survive. I saw one of my sons the other day. I looked at him, he looked at me, and we both smiled. And we knew why we were smiling. He was in the military, and he was coming to the Holy Ghost night when somebody phoned him to tell him that they had put his name down for retirement. And he said, I'm not due for retirement, but he had so many enemies, so they put his name down for retirement. So he came to the Holy Ghost night, what we call Festival of Life here, and the word of God came and said, oh, those who thought that they have gotten rid of you, long after they are gone, you will still be rising. That was Friday. By Monday, things had changed. The head of department who recommended him for dismissal was the one who was dismissed. And he himself just kept on rising. I'm saying to somebody here today, in the presence of your enemies, my Father will prepare a table before you. Thank you, Father. Now, so when he decides to make fruitful, age is immaterial. In Genesis chapter 18, thank you, Father. I think I can say amen to this one. You know, occasionally he says something that is so good and it's applicable to me too, so I grab it. Elon said there's someone here tonight, he said, the reason for your recent attacks is because your sun is about to shine brighter. Now, I know God loves those of you in the United Kingdom, but isn't this becoming too much? Let me say amen to this one also. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, I have surprised you before. He said, but you cannot even begin to imagine what I'm about to do for you next. I think I'm on Genesis 18. But my daddy is still talking. He said, and I want to say amen to this one too, because I like it very much. He said, there's someone here tonight. He said, this year I will put finishing touches to your situation.
please join us on this same station at this time next week for another wonderful experience as Pastor E.A. Adeboye exposes the deep mysteries in the Word of God.